Here, the old gods are dead.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, this is a Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca.
Hi.
I mean, if this is a video podcast, right, so...
Incriminating evidence.
Me and Liam obviously can see each other when we record this podcast, and Liam was just saying something really questionable, which is why I laughed. So sorry for that unprofessional intro.
Not questionable, just like slutty.
What updates do we have?
I have the first draft of my master's thesis due tomorrow, and I also have an interview for a job on the 31st. And then I have my final submission for my master's thesis due on the 2nd, but I've pushed it to the 5th because I have an interview on the 31st.
And I'm sure you'll say all of that.
Yeah, I ran to my supervisor crying today. I was like, I have an interview and it's going to interview with me doing my submission. And she was like, I mean, the weekend doesn't really count, so just do Monday morning.
She was like, shut up and stop crying.
No, that's been the entire like past 3 months. She's been like, it's not that deep, sister, but go off. Wait. Cool. I would say anyone who listens to this podcast and is considering doing I have like a little tiny hand and I didn't realize I was pointing it. I have like one of those little like fake plastic hands, and Becca's now laughing because I forgot. Oh my god, it says
it's the fact that
it.
You were like waving it around to enunciate everything you were saying.
I mean, I just like, I'm thinking.
Get in your mood.
Anyway, anyone who's thinking about doing a master's course, they'll make you do, I'm not saying don't do it, I'm just saying be prepared for the fact that they will make you do it during like the summer. Like you'll do your project during the summer, mm-hmm. and all the lecturers book their time off in the summer when there's no like undergraduate classes and stuff. Like the majority of
the same thing happened to my sister when their dissertation was due, and like their advisor was like, I'm in fucking Greece, so like what do you want me to do?
Yeah, my supervisor was like, oh, by the way, I know that you have till this date to hand in your first draft, but we're gonna need to do 2 days early because I will not have Wi-Fi. No. Coca-Cola light.
Coca-Cola normal. Oh, should we do our ins and outs for this week? Wait.
Speaking of.
I was actually going to make the viral video of Coca-Cola light, Coca-Cola normal, and Coca-Cola zero. My in. But then it started to rain this week and I wasn't really feeling the summer vibe of that video. So my in for this week is the Twilight Saga.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's been giving. I've been driving to work, listening to Bonnie Bear. No, like Rosalind, like the whole New Moon soundtrack is my in, actually. And then I seen a TikTok last night where it was like the weather's starting to get really ha, 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 ha. And I was like, no, so true.
points made, and I actually agreed. No, because I realized it was like raining and it was getting dark really early, and I was like, oh, the snow is sticking to the ground.
I seen somebody on TikTok say that their seasonal depression works, that they're more depressed in the summer than they are in the winter, and I was like,
okay,
shut up.
Oh, Cara used to like think that. Cara used to say that all the time, and she was like, I love winter, it's so cozy vibes, I hate summer. And I was like,
isn't Cara like mentally ill? You're right.
Yeah, she is, but we love her for it. But yeah, now she's like she appreciates summer. You work at a florist for 1 year and you appreciate summer all of a sudden.
That'll do it. Remember when Scotland was in the Euros? That was fucking brilliant.
And take me back. I never got to appreciate it properly because I was so stressed at that point in time.
When are you? I'm going to be really glad when you're not in education. Like every day I message Liam and I'm like, when is it over? I'm worried, when is it over?
And I'm crying in the shower, so I don't reply.
Like you're like my last pal who's like still in education, and I'm like, sweetie, when is it done?
Get out.
What's your in?
Oh, my in is Witch House music. And I have a theory on it. So like Crimes and Crystal Castles have gone really big on TikTok recently. And I was like, what is it? Because like last time, like those two artists were big was like when it was really a big thing, it was like 2012. I know that like 2008 kicked it off. And it was like 2008 was the last big universal crisis before like financial crisis before this. And I was like, why is it that Lana Del Rey, Catholic like iconography, pro Anna culture, twee, and Witch House are so intertwined? And then I was like, I guess it's because people have this like need to like be like fashionable, and then everyone wants to be fashionable, so everyone makes it like the easiest things to be like stylish and cool at the moment, and the cheapest things to do are like, I guess, eat less, worship God, and listen to like minimalist sounding music or like sad music.
Eat less. We are all eating less.
Yeah, so like they make it stylish, and then so all of these things are connected.
Oh, that's like when hipsterism was like a proper thing in like the 2010s, and it was just after the financial crash, and it was like making used clothing look really fashionable and cool because there was like literally no other option.
Yeah, and like yeah, that's a good thing, but at the same time it's like you didn't really choose it, did you?
Like, it's not a choice. Heroin's cheap, but make it not a choice. Yeah.
I mean, like the basic model I guess isn't really a choice, but yeah, so that's my theory on all of that.
I've got an out. So if anybody tuned in last week, they knew that my out was dueling. This week, my out is elf bars.
Yes, they count as different things. They count as different things.
Well, the thing is, Jules didn't taste like anything. They're no sweet. They're just obviously horrendous for your lungs, like any kind of vaping thing. And I'm so hopelessly devoted to nicotine that I gave up Julian.
And your out last week
was Olivia Newton-John. This is all tied together. But I was like really struggling, and my girlfriend, she gave up Julian as well. So I was like, right, it's going to be so easy. I'm not going to be near any nicotine products. And then like I went into her house and she had like 5 elf bars, like sat like around her, like a wee ritual. And I was like,
she was doing like a prayer circle,
trying to recharge her elf bars. And I was like, what is this? And she was like, oh, I was kind of hoping that because they're so sweet and sickly that like I wouldn't suck on them so much. And I was like, right, but there's like 7 here. So then she gave me one. And she's right, they do taste like sick and they're fucking horrible. But now I'm on elf bars for the foreseeable future. Well, until this Lost Mary, it's called Pink Lemonade, is finished. And my elf bars are out. They're out for this week.
That's such a nice story, actually.
Next time I'll be like, what is that Swedish stuff called? Like snus? I'll be like shoving that up my gums. I'll be chewing tobacco. Like,
yeah, you'll be doing like those like in gum nicotine patches.
Or like it'll be like
Spittoon.
Spittoon. Like you'll just hear like What is your out?
Well, it's kind of sad, actually. My out is the Paula Abdul plane story. because I just don't feel the same way about it. It doesn't spark the joy. I did a long bit last time and that's it. It's played out. I've got all I can out of it.
I did was asking people like what's their favorite episode of the podcast last week, because I was just such an attention seeker, and they were all like, oh, I really liked last week's episode, and I really believe that hinged upon the Paul Abdul joke.
No, oh my god, Cara did a personality test. Oh my god, this whole episode is about Cara, actually. She did a personality test tonight, you know how like when you do like the MBTI, whatever it's called, Enneagram, and it tells you like celebrities and famous people that are like you. Hers was Paula Abdul.
Oh my god, that's so specific.
Yeah, that's a deep cut. Like, who's analyzing Paula Abdul's behavior like that?
The last one I did, I got Aubrey Plaza, and then kind of how it gives you like fictional characters.
Yeah.
It gave me Aubrey Plaza, and then it gave me Wednesday Adams. And then it gave me somebody else who was really sarcastic. And I was like, I really didn't think I was that dry. Wednesday Addams show.
I got the Joker, BoJack Horseman, and Iron Man.
Which version of the Joker?
What?
Which version of the Joker? All of them.
All of them. They're all the same. Except for, I don't think Jared Leto's is the same. But I just don't claim that energy for myself. Anyway, I'm the incel ideal man, as it turns out.
BoJack's kind of some about him.
In your Catherine the Great era, I fear.
That was a rumor.
Wait, what's that clickbait article that I just saw today? Horse won't stop hugging pregnant woman, and doctor looks at the ultrasound and calls the police. That was the clickbait article.
Catherine the Great, stalking me like.
Oh, circling back, Wednesday Addams Netflix series. Yeah.
It kind of reminded me when they like made a Heather's show, and then they made a and the Craft show as well.
Yeah, and it was all targeted to... to gays.
Although
to little gay
boys. I did see that what's her name, Christina Ricci's gonna be in it, but she's no playing Morticia, so I'm like, it's Catherine Zeta-Jones that's playing Morticia.
Why?
I don't know. Some American on TikTok was like, who was the first to find it, who found it the day that Catherine Zeta-Jones is nae Hispanic, and I was like, she's fucking Welsh, like, is the Jones no, like... is the Jones no enough of a clue? And the fact that she looks like she's, like, cousins with Marina. So funny.
That was a slow burn for me, but I enjoyed that.
Anyway, speaking of clickbait titles, this week's episode is going to be a time-tested clickbait episode on witch hunts, but before we get into that, I do have to end Zoe's saga about her Uncle Alan. We've come to the end. It's been 6 weeks that I've been dragging this out. She does say that she saved the best for last, so this spooky wee story actually takes place on Orkney. So, and I quote, "My uncle used to work really shite gigs to get into the film industry. Being booked and busy is a grind, especially in Scotland in the 80s. One of his first proper jobs that required him to travel was to cover a fiddle festival in Orkney."
I mean, everyone's got to start somewhere, of course.
The crew stayed in the Standing Stone Hotel, which to my knowledge has since burnt down and been abandoned several times, but it's currently back up and running. The hotel at the time was clearly just a renovated large family house, and my uncle, being the clapper slash marker man, left him at the bottom rung of importance, so he got the shitty attic room, which wasn't normally let out to guests unless the place was packed. One night he was awoken from a really vivid dream at around 3 a.m.
Witching hour.
He dreamt that he was in the trenches during World War I, running around terrified. A gas attack had happened and he legged it down a trench that seemed to be clear, only to have a German soldier appear out of his peripheral view and gut him with a bayonet. He said he could see his entrails beginning to fall out before waking up in a cold sweat. Trigger warning gore, I guess. I didn't really...
A bit late now, but...
Again, Alan was really low maintenance, so he didn't even think about mentioning it. But the owners did seek him out after seeing that he was in the attic room and asked how his night's sleep was, to which he said, "Ah, it was fine."
You better believe I would have milked that for like 3 hours.
Okay, well, I'd be like, get me in a better room right now.
I'm suing.
However, he was there for several days and surprise, surprise, the next night he had the same dream. As the days went on, the dream just began as soon as he put his head down to sleep. After seeing how disheveled my uncle was, the owner who questioned him before asked him again, and my uncle did relent and informed him of how he was having vivid and not very nice dreams. The owner said that the person whose room he was in was a family member who was regarded as missing in action in World War One. To which my uncle replied, "Well, I think I know how he died," and then proceeded to explain. Surprisingly, the basement of the hotel was used for an RAF operation in 1918, and out of all the sons the original family had that went to war, only one didn't come back. The one that apparently was showing Alan how he died to let his family can.
Oh my god.
And I would just like to reinstate, because we've been talking about Alan for 3 episodes now. In the beginning episode, Alan like claims that he's no haunted and he doesn't really believe in any spooky stuff.
He's not haunted, he's just clairvoyant, I guess.
Like... yeah, I know. Like, he's actually psychic. Like, Zoe, please tell your uncle that he's psychic. He could be the next Derek Okora.
Next Miss Cleo.
Call me now.
She's a queen for that.
This episode, since Liam is so busy-wizzy, I thought that I would do a wee passion project of mine, considering that I'm reading a book on it right now. I'm reading The Witches of Fife by Stuart MacDonald. So I've compiled a little essay today with the Fife witch trials, primarily in Inverkeven and Torryburn and Cooris, which are the most famous witch trials in Fife. So we'll take a wee break and then I'll come back and tell Liam about it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Are you ready for some cold, hard facts?
Who said that?
So, to really understand Fife witch hunts, we have to understand that they were driven by the want of a godly society. So, the Reformation had changed the relationship between the church and the common people, and the beliefs and behaviour of the people mattered, whether it was their sexual behaviour or their seeking charms and incantations in order to protect themselves from disease. Like, anything goes, the church wanted to be involved, and they wanted to make everybody feel fucking bad about it. Like, that was the vibe.
The usual from the usual.
So church discipline was used to alter both belief and behaviour, and many believe that the witch hunts and hysteria that developed kind of just happened naturally because of the Reformation. Like, because you'd go to the church on Sunday and they'd literally be hammering at him that the devil was going to drag you down to hell no matter what you did.
Devil's going to get you.
The devil's going to get you. So all these people were, like, shiting themselves, so then they just started accusing each other of witchcraft, like, left, right and centre. So it was the church, no other members of the elite, who were primarily concerned with eradicating witchcraft for the parishes of Fife. And this concern was no so much about the devil, but with all acts of charming, curing, slanderous speech or heretical belief, which were all included under the umbrella term that is witchcraft. This could just be, like, simple, like, healers using, like, different herbs and stuff, or
modern medicine.
Yeah, just, like, you know, like, delivering babies in, like, a clean and healthy way, stuff like that.
Washing your hands.
Washing your ass is also meant to be, like, witchcraft. Like, James the VI famously only took a bath once a year. So.
I know, it was like a swamp. It was like a swamp.
I know. His disco ass.
They actually found penicillin in growth between his ass.
To get the confessions required to have a suspect taken to a secular trial, sleep deprivation was the primary form of torture used in Fife. So this was a dominant method used to gain confessions. This is actually still used in police tactics today to try and get false confessions out of people. Like, if you've ever heard the West Memphis Three, it's like these guys and, well, young men in America, boys basically, who were falsely accused of killing children just because because they were, like, goths basically. But they were interviewed for, like, 20 years on the trot basically, and eventually the police would be like, if you just tell us, you can go home. So then they would tell them so they could go home, but they would go to jail, and they went to jail for, like, 20 years under false confessions that were given during sleep deprivation tactics. Anyway,
horrible.
I know.
Why can
time tested though?
Reliable.
The devil actually only makes a few appearances in the Fife trials. It was often folk beliefs about fairies which seemed to be more important than diabolic theory. But the trials that I'm going to be talking about today in Inverkeithen and stuff, the devil does make an appearance, because I thought it was more interesting, so I'm going to talk about that.
That's good of him. Good to show faith.
Good to show up on the episode that I wanted. The victims of the attempt to create a godly society were often those who lived on the fringes of society. Women, and particularly women who were old and poor, were the primary suspects. Women who were divorced. Women who were a bit weird. Women who were disabled. Men who were a bit weird. Men who were a bit disabled. Stuff like that. Like, people who... society wants to be ready, essentially.
Yeah.
Especially in this point in time.
Once again, same old, same old.
Same old, same old. No, not much has changed. The witch hunt is obviously a fascinating topic in its own right, but it does give us a clearer understanding of life in the late 1500s to 1700s, specifically in small villages, and how the communities interacted with their new God and devil-fearing Protestant church. Speaking of God and devil-fearing, do you care where I'm going with this?
No, but I'm excited for the ride.
As I said in James the VI's episode, the way that James took to witch hunting stems directly from his hard Protestant upbringing. He feared God, he feared the devil, he feared witches, and primarily he feared women and anything out of the ordinary, just as his teachers had beaten and sermoned into him every day until he was an adult. Most people in Scotland were very much the same during this period, because although they wouldn't have a teacher yelling at them like 24/7, on a Sunday in a Presbyterian church, you're there all day. Like, yeah. 12 straight hours, just somebody telling you that you're a piece of shit for like liking herbs.
Yeah, you don't even get to confess to anything in this church. You just get told.
You just get told
you're a sinner.
Yeah. Edinburgh and Haddington have the highest numbers of witchcraft cases in Scotland from 1560 to 1760, with 845 between them. Haddington is in the lead by a mile, mainly due to the North Berwick witch trials, which we spoke about in episode 4 or 5. I can't really remember.
It's been a long time. Like a year.
It's been like a year, oh my god.
No.
Closely behind Haddington and Edinburgh is the lovely Kingdom of Fife, which had 280 cases. Dunfermline figured indirectly in the infamous North Berwick witch trials in 1590. One of the accused, we've spent 5 minutes trying to get the same right. Euphemi McCausland. One of the accused, insert name here, was said to have consulted with a woman in Dunfermline seeking a love potion for her husband, but there is no clear indication that anyone was sought out in this regard as part of the North Berwick witch trials. So it was like the North Berwick witch trials was gone on. James VI heard about this and went, I can't be arsed going to Dunfermline. So whoever that woman was got away with it. The earliest examples of witch hunting in this area of Fife come from the 1620s, when several major witch hunts occurred. They spread from Inverkeithen, Aberdour, Dalgety Bay, Cooris, and Torryburn. I sound like the train woman.
I was literally about to say, oh my god, did you see ScotRail released like all of the like train stop noises?
What, to use, for people to take?
I don't know, they just released all of them. And I listened to it for a while. I just liked it. Rich Valen, Sterling, Glen Eagles.
This podcast is so stupid. So I need to say it again. Because I'm going to go in the key thing. Aberdour, Dalgety Bay, Cooris and Torryburn.
This train will terminate at Glasgow Queen Street High Level.
So these witch hunts took place over the period of a couple of years and are very similar to how the Salem witch trials played out, although these did come first. But it's kind of like if you can't anything about the Salem witch trials, it's like one person says something and then they accuse somebody and that person gets accused and they're like, nah, it wasn't me, it was her. And then they're like, no, it wasn't me, it was him. And then it just spreads until, like, at least 15 people are arrested and at least 11 people die. So, in Inverkeithen in February 1621, the Privy Council issued a commission naming 6 women in Inverkeithen, all suspected witches. All those named had already been imprisoned and investigated by the ministers and magistrates of Inverkeithen, and 5 had confessed. The commission stated that these women, all of whom admitted to their devilish practices and having given themselves over, soul and body, to the devil, were to be tried. The way that I had to translate this, because it's like, their devilish practices, and like, it's written in old Scots, and it sounds like the teacher put you in the...
I was just about to say, you can do witchcraft like that when you wear sensible footwear.
Are you chewing gum? Anyway.
Oh, so she was so right for that.
Six are imprisoned, 5 confess. The 6, Marion Chatto, who had been accused in some of the depositions as the principal person in all conventions and meeting with the devil and most familiar to him, had not confessed.
She's the real witch.
She was subjected to further examination, including having the confessed witches confront her, which is kind of like similar to what happened in Salem, where the accused would be presented in front of the afflicted and the afflicted would all scream and like say that this person was like putting pain onto them and stuff like that. I'm assuming that's kind of similar what's happening in the Inverkeithen tollbooth at this point. The Inverkeithen tollbooth's still there and you can look at it and you're like, that's haunted.
Yeah.
At the end of March, Christine Cooper, a curess, was also named as a witch in this commission for her use of charms. Again, she had been apprehended and had confessed. The commission also noted that several famous persons as witnesses had brought testimony against her, and she was to be tried on the charges and punished. So the famous persons in this trial in Curis are the same five witches for the one in Inverkeithen. Like, the Inverkeithen trials has gone on. No much is happening with Marian. So they're like, actually, it was Christine for Curis. So they get her for Curis down the road, and she gets tried too.
And Christine was like, no, I saw a UFO. It wasn't me. I was just late because I saw a UFO.
The interest in witches, which began in 1621, continued over the next years, affecting other parishes as well as erupting in larger hunts both in Inverkeithen and Curis. In 1622, five women in Aberdour, three whom were widows, had been arrested and examined on suspicion of witchcraft, and for the murder of a man named John Bell. I feel like murder's enough to get them on. Like, yeah.
But you don't need to put the witchcraft on that. That's like overkill.
After their arrest by the Baileys and the careful examination that followed, they had all freely of their own accord, this is written down, freely of their own accord, no sleep deprivation, no pilly winkies, no torture methods used whatsoever.
No corkscrews, no boots. It was all just on their own volition.
So they confessed to the murder and to speaking with the devil who had seemingly had been with them when they committed the murder. The links between these cases and those in Inverkeithen are clear because the commissioners on these reports are the same as the ones in Inverkeithen, and the same names appear on commissions issued the next year in 1623 when the largest hunt to this point in Fife broke out in Inverkeithen. 15 separate individuals from Inverkeithen were named in several commissions issued in 1623. On February 27, 1623, a commission was issued to apprehend Christine Balfour, Margaret Bull, Bessie Logie, Margaret Marshall, and Janet Robinson. Another group numbering four women and one man were noted as having fled, thus taking the guilt upon themselves. Not being funny, but like, I would also run, because like, you're guilty. Like, it's not innocent until proven guilty. Like, then they're,
it's
like, even when you're
proven dead.
Yeah. Like... and thus taking the guilt upon themselves. So they were like, oh, well, they've ran, so clearly they're guilty. Clearly they've got something to hide. When apprehended, they were to be investigated using testimony of anyone who came forward with information to be used against them. So like, anything goes, like any small gripes or issues, people could come forward and accuse these people who had ran, and it would just be used as evidence. The key to what was occurring may be in the next part of the commission, where it is stated that three suspects are already in custody, and two of them, Bessie Anderson and Marjorie Aitken, had already confessed to sundry devilish practices. The third, Marian Henderson, continued to plead her innocent despite the many charges made against her by Bessie and Marjorie. Marian then asked for matters to be taken into her own hands so she could go to a trial instead of confessing. So it's these two women who have, it's similar to the one that happened before, these two women are in jail and they're like, everybody's a fucking witch. And we're bringing everybody down with us. And Marian's like, for fuck's sake.
It's like, you know, on Drag Race, when RuPaul goes, who should go home tonight and why? And then they're always like, her. No, it should be her. Until it's like, everyone's been indicated. I kind of love that for them, though. They're like, well, we can't, none of us can be witches if we're all witches. They underestimate men.
What are they going to do?
They will all be murdered.
So it's clear that the serial witch hunt in Inverkeithen spread for these two women who were first incarcerated. So they're incarcerated, they're getting tortured, they're naming everybody. Ultimately, they name 15 people. It's unclear if it was witch pricking, sleep deprivation, physical torture, or an actual belief on their part that they were witches that made these women confess and then implicate Marian and others. Further commissions were issued to deal with the spread in Inverkeithen situation. On March 18, 1623, it noted that seven suspects had been apprehended and subsequently had confessed to the crime of witchcraft, conferring with the devil and given themselves over, soul and body, to him and his service. This group included all of those named in the first commission, so the first group of women and Marian, as well as two new suspects who weren't amongst the ones that had run. A final commission names another two new people, which lists the final tally at 15 different individuals charged as witches in Inverkeithen during this period. 11 confessed and were taken to a further trial, and there's a strong possibility that they were all executed, although it can't be proven because it's no undocumented. The commissions is the only thing that survives, but it they probably were.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Let's be real.
Marian Henderson, who wanted the trial to clear her name, was actually examined further, but we have no record that she ever confessed or if she was among those executed. Free the accused John Young, the only male suspect, was successful in escaping Inverkeithen and further capture. So 11 died, 4 people got away with it.
I wouldn't fancy my odds, but...
No.
That's pretty decent numbers, I suppose.
The most notorious witch trials in Fife come from Toryburn, which... So, like,
I sure hope it does.
So, in this wee party Fife, it's like Rosyth and Inverkeithen, and then like a wee bit up the coast, there's Curis and then Toryburn. My auntie actually lives in Toryburn, and it does have a really horrible vibe. It's in the name. But we used to like go walks in the woods in Toryburn, and it was fucking horrible.
Was it haunted?
Aye. I was like, is an ancient place. Maybe the vibes were just bad because my mum and dad had like dumped me in Toryburn so they could go to tea in the park when I was like 7.
Again, they were so right for that.
So the events begin in Toryburn at a special meeting, a session in 1675, to deal with a story that a woman named Jan Bizet had been molested by Satan. They do not say in what manner. She could have been possessed.
Yeah.
But...
seems like really, like, aggressive language for no reason.
Yeah. Seems like really aggressive language. It is the church who's writing these commissions, and so they're the only people who can read and write. Although Bizet wasn't present at the beginning of the proceedings, others began a story how one night whilst Janet had been walking home drunk, she began warning that a local woman, Lilias Ady, was a witch. On her walk home that night, she was extremely disturbed, crying out, "Oh God, oh Christ, there is Lily coming to take me. Oh, keep me, she is coming."
So many of my friends have walked home from town doing the exact same thing. And the people who they were accusing were not witches, so...
When I used to drink gin, I could have done this. I could have been walking in with one of my pals and been like, she's a fucking witch.
She's a witch. Get her away from me. There's an old colonial woman on the wing of the plane.
She's churning butter.
There's something they are not telling us.
So, a month later, a woman called Jean Wilson claims that she had also been tormented by Lilias, which led the Baileys to incarcerate Lily. 9 days later, at the next session meeting, Lily confessed to being a witch, to having had a compact with the devil since the second bury of the witches in this place, which essentially means at the second meeting of the witches in Toryburn, I made a deal with the devil. She claimed that she had given herself over to the devil to having had carnal intercourse with him, and then added that his feet were cloven like a cow.
Me when I'm just told what to say.
Me when there's a knife at my back.
Lying.
Reacting to me lying.
And he has line cloven feet like a cow.
She claimed that to have been summoned by a woman called Grizel Anderson. That's a witch if I've ever heard of one.
That's a witch name. Grizel Anderson consulting with the devil.
I saw Goody Proctor doing spine circles in the woods. So apparently Grizel Anderson had invited her to a meeting one moonlit night where everyone clapped and honoured the devil as their prince.
That episode of, like, what is it, Good Morning or something, where they're cooking the food, and then she shows the people the food, and then everyone goes... It's just, like, 2 minutes of clapping for no reason. I need to find that. That can go on the thing this week.
So, everybody clapped. Oh my God, what is it? Is it, like, Jeb Bush? Please clap. The devil? Please clap. In prison 2 days later, so Willie is very much arrested, she sticks to her confession. The people interviewing her ask if another woman, Agnes Curry, was a witch. Lily states if she was charged, Agnes Curry, she would run, which essentially is just Lily saying she's guilty. Then Lily was asked if the devil had a sword. Her reply was that she believed he does not use a sword, and she indicated her anger, for he had promised her many things which he had not delivered. She then named Agnes Curry as someone in attendance at the last meeting. Another local woman, Elspeth Williamson, admitted to having attended a meeting of witches by the side of the churchyard, and by being surprised when there were no psalms sung. So this woman got accused by Lily of having been at this meeting, and Elspeth was like, yeah, I did show up at that meeting. It was a bit weird. Weren't they singing any prayers?
She went because she wanted to honour God, but she got the wrong memo. Like, she's innocent.
She was like, yeah, it was a midnight congregation. Oh, she thought it was midnight mass. She was like, sorry, I forgot we stopped doing midnight mass in this country. Elspeth believed that, but was not sure, that a woman called Mary had taken her to this meeting. One final comment of note, she claimed that when the devil left, she could not hear his footsteps on the ground. The accusations made against all these women were actually long-standing. For example, there was a claim years later that Agnes Curry had bewitched a child who had died earlier that day after a baptism.
Right.
Cause so, like, these women got away with it. Elspeth, Mary, Agnes get away with it. They didn't go to jail. They didn't get executed. Literally. I survived the Tory Burn witch trials, and all I got was this Lizzie t-shirt. And, but the reputations are tainted at this point. So yeah. A baby dies randomly years later and somebody blames Agnes Curry for it. And she's just like, work, like, what am I? Like, what do you want me to do? For all the time that was spent examining these women and the fact that Lily confessed and Elspeth Williamson didn't deny she was a witch, nothing much came of these events. But Lily, because she was held in prison for so long, ended up dying in prison, and it's likely was likely due to the conditions. She was an older woman. She was much older. But I very much assume that she, like, either froze or got, like, pneumonia or something because of being in a dank, dirty cell. She's actually buried in the tide lines in Torryburn underneath a big stone slab that you can still see when the tide goes out. At all the presbyteries in Fife, Dunfermline saw the greatest activity in terms of witch hunting. It is for this presbytery that we receive our most dramatic references to the devil, a figure who remains surprisingly absent in Fife, except for a few cases outside the Dunfermline Presbytery, which includes Inverkeithing Cooris, Torryburn.
He's busy. He only comes out for the hits, you know.
So, was it this hyped up fairy god and devil that made witch hunts sweep across Fife? Or were these people genuinely mental?
Were the pipes made of lead? <I don't know. laughs> They, I mean, we've slandered the Catholic Church before. So it could just be Protestant witch hunting. And then we balance out our, we'll never overcome the sectarian allegations. But yeah, did you know how seriously these things are taken by, like, Scottish witch talk? Like, Scottish witch TikTok?
Yeah, I know.
I saw one the other day, and it was like some girl in where the daughters of the witches you couldn't burn in America was talking about how her, like, ancestors are, like, were killed in the Scottish witch trials. And then someone, like, what's that thing called? Stitching? They stitched it.
Yeah.
With another video of them talking. And they were like, anyone who knows anything would know.
I know why that struck a nerve. It's because the witch that they said that they were the ancestor of is also a character in Outlander.
Yeah.
So they were like, shut up.
Yeah.
And like, they were like, even cares if she's a real person.
Yeah. And they were also like, everyone knows that all of the people who died in the witch trials weren't witches. And it's like, yes, I agree. Actually, it was just a we hate women and weirdos sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I say weirdos affectionately and just from a POV, not from what.
We're the weirdos here, miss.
Normal people scare me. yeah. But is it that deep?
It's kind of similar, like, if you, well, obviously it's the 1600s, things are shit, there's no much going on, and you're having it drilled into your head every day that, like, God's gonna get you, the devil's gonna get you, so it just spikes up fear. It's kind of like, it's similar to how in colonial Massachusetts, the people that got sent there were all like big Christians and like a scary way, where even here we were sick of them, so we were like, spread the message to the new world, like, get the fuck. And then they went to the new world and they all killed each other.
they were crazy. Like, it was like, it definitely, in my opinion, is it comes from this sort of place of like, all of these people are so scared, and then they're feeling like the eyes of God, in quotations, watching them, which is actually just their own paranoia. Or it could be God, if you're so inclined. But anyway, they're feeling the eyes of God watching them, and then they're like, fuck, what do I do to distract him? And then they just, she's a witch. She's a witch.
Don't look at her. Don't look at me. Look at her. Look at her.
I see Cleavage. Witch.
I very much agree. The last person who was ever tried and executed the witchcraft in Scotland was a woman in Dornoch. And the whole reason why she was ever put on trial is because her daughter was like visibly disabled. We will cover her. But I was in a cafe in Dornoch, and it's in an old courthouse, so they have a mural on the wall and it's got the famous faces of Dornoch on it. So Madonna's there, Guy Ritchie's there, and we were looking at him, and we were like trying to, yeah, because she got married in Dornoch.
Shut up. No, she didn't.
Yeah.
To Guy Ritchie?
Yeah.
Not Dornoch.
It was in a castle near Dornoch. Anyway, so all these famous people are on the wall, and we were looking at them, and we were like trying to pick out everybody because that's the whole point in it being there. And there was one character, and I was like, that's definitely a witch. Like, ginger, ratty hair, dark circles under her eyes. I was like, she's just like me. But I googled it, and it said, and then we went and found like the marker where her body was burned, and it's just like next to somebody's washing line, like in somebody's garden in Dornoch. We will cover it. But the whole reason why she was ever executed was because of our daughter was essentially like strange, so they put them both on trial.
They
crazy,
put
huh?
The daughter on trial for being disabled.
But it's like same thing happens here. Like Lilius AD is old, doesn't he have a husband? So a woman who's drunk and causing a ruckus in the middle of the town is getting shit. So she's like, it was Lilius. Like that's the whole thing. Is like she's walking home drunk, is causing bother. And folk are like, if you didn't stop causing bother, like, we'll, like, jail you for it. And she's like, it's not me being drunk, I'm possessed. I'm being bothered by Lilius AD, and then Lilius has to go to fucking jail for it. Crazy, huh?
I would do the same thing, to be fair. It was Becca.
It's like when you're really, really drunk and you're like, I think I've got spiked.
Cut to you like mind sweeping the bar.
Me drinking like 15 pints of Guinness and being like, here, I think I was spiked last night.
It wasn't my fault.
Happy birthday to us. Like, I believe we've done 25 episodes of this and that people actually listen. But
freaks.
I'll mayhaps organise a giveaway at the end of the month.
Word.
For some merch.
When I win it.
one of your burner accounts wins. But if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at The Creepy Wee Pod, Instagram at The Creepy Wee Podcast, TikTok is the same. You can buy merch, submit stories at thecreepywepodcast.co.uk, and you can send us an email at thecreepywepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you. Bye.
Do you believe in love after love after love after love after love? Okay, that's it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.